About a lesson that I talk to you about every year, but it seems so difficult. And there's a reason why Thanksgiving is such a difficult subject to talk about. It's because it's really not easy to do. You know, when you think about getting married, there's a lot of stress that goes into that process. You got to plan and get all these invitations out and, you know, directions and signs. I mean, there's a lot of stress to go through that process. And I tell you, you know, when you get done with that, you think, man, it's over. The hard part's done. And I'm telling you, the hard part's not done. You still got to write 200 thank you cards. Now, if you've ever gone through that process, you know what a painful thing it is. Now, it's not painful to write a thank you card, but there's not one thank you card or two thank you cards. There's like 200 thank you cards. And you forget what someone did for you or what they gave you. You don't remember at all. And before the services, I leaned over to Anna and asked her, I said, how long did it take us to do our thank you cards after we got married? Because I remember it being like a year. And nothing says how appreciative I am than me telling you a year later that you did something. And Anna's response to me blew my mind. She said, I don't think we ever finished. And she was lamenting, like, I think I lost the list. So look, if there's someone that gave us something and we never said thank you 15 years ago, you have our gratitude. I've probably long since thrown that thing away. But no, I mean, Saying thank you is not one of those easy things to do. It requires effort and work and attention and time. And so while it seems like a holiday or a time of year that would come very natural to us, like most things, there's a layer of difficulty about it that's worth our time and attention this morning. So I've simply titled the lesson this morning, The Importance of Thankfulness. And if you got your Bibles and you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, we will start off by reading that verse and studying together. Now, Dion, you got some batteries for me? What's worse, not being able to move, or my mother calling saying, I couldn't hear you on your sermon. So, glad to get that squared away. So, if you turn to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, you look at just a very important verse that Paul's telling Christians here. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. And so I want to say at the outset, you know, this is not a one-time-a-year thing where it's good to reflect and think, you know what, we should have a day that we're thankful for something. That's not going to cut it from a Christian's perspective any more than Valentine's Day is the one day that you pony up and say, well, let me show my wife I love her. That's not how those things work. There is a facet of our lives that ought to always be thankful. And I'm going to tell you, it's something that in my own life you think, man, I probably don't do a good job of doing this. And so I want to study together with you this morning about the idea of thankfulness and the importance of it in three slides. And then I want to talk to you about four things that really are roadblocks or stumbling blocks to our thankfulness. And things that keep us from being the kind of people that just give thanks in all circumstances. Because I'll tell you, you will have no trouble giving thanks this week. I mean, think about it. Most of you will be off work. Some of you are already traveling. You're out of town. Some of you are going to go out of town. And, I mean, you're going to just lay on the couch and let your mama do for you. You're going to go see family or friends that you haven't seen in a while. And there's just great joy in that. Or, you know, you're going to eat and stuff yourself more than you normally do. And you may think, well, let's just go shop and see if there's anything for us to buy. If you can't be thankful this week, I can't help you. But you need to be thankful next week, too. And you need to be thankful the third week of January and the middle of March. Like, when things aren't going good, you're starting back to school and your vacation's over. You need to learn to be thankful when you don't have family to go home to. And family that maybe is passed on, or the family relationship's not good, and you're not all going to get to be together this holiday season. Like, God wants us to find the idea of thankfulness in all those things. And I think it's just so important for us to make sure that we're following these things. And here's why. Number one, Thanksgiving is important, or being thankful is important, because God commanded it. All right, Thanksgiving is important because God commanded it. Now, we just read that kind of imperative verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. But if you want to go flip over to Ephesians 5, then you can see in verse 20 where he asks us, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now think about that again. He tells us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to sing to one another. All right, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We've already done that. And you could probably quote Ephesians 5:19 and talk about how it's a command of God that we're to sing to each other. And it is. But you know what else is a command of God? What's the next verse? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, one verse isn't more important than the verse following. And as important as we take singing, we ought to look at Thanksgiving the same way and say, look, this is critical for me to be a thankful person. You know, you think about the Ten Commandments, you think about Moses, and you think, like, those somehow represent the pinnacle of what God wants for us. And that's just not true. When you look at the Bible, you can see that even in Jesus. When people ask Jesus, hey, what's the greatest commandments? Jesus didn't go to the Ten Commandments and say, well, I got the top ten here. There are a few other ones that are important. Jesus could pull out what was important, of course, even outside of the Ten Commandments. Loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. And so those concepts are rooted in other passages. And so I don't want us to have our own like Ten Commandments of what's the most important and then miss clear teachings from God about what He wants for you and me. You know, when you think about Colossians 3:17, you could probably quote that too and think about how we're to do things that God commands in the name of Jesus. Whatever we do, we're to do all things in the name of the Lord. And we need authority and we need, a reason for why we do what we do. But notice what it says at the second half of that verse. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know what's important? Doing everything we do by the authority of Jesus Christ. Not going beyond that which is written, and not doing what God has asked us to do. But you know, the second half of that verse is attached to it. We can't escape it. Not only are we to do things in the name of Jesus, but we are to give thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, I know that's a challenge, isn't it? Because I just don't think to myself, when I see something like that, that it is just as forceful as other things that God asks me to do. I just want that to change that in your mind this morning. When He says, you need to give thanks to God always, and when He says, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God always, I want you to take that serious. And think to yourself, wow, I mean, I need to make sure I'm a thankful person. Nothing really calls it home like seeing Jesus Himself give thanks. You know, if there was one person that was ever on the face of this earth that could get away with not giving thanks, I mean, wouldn't it be Jesus? I mean, Jesus being God, God with us, knowing everything, He'd been with God, He was God, John 1 says. I mean, surely He knows that He Himself made all these things, and nothing that was made without Him. And He could probably get away with thanking Himself for His own food. But let me tell you, Jesus left us an example that we should follow in His steps. And one example that Jesus did throughout His life on multiple occasions was he was always conscious to give thanks to God for things he was thankful for. Whether he's breaking bread and he give thanks to God before they eat, or thankful to God that he hears his prayer, thankful to God for a number of things. If we see Jesus himself honoring God through thanksgiving, look, we need to take it serious. All right? It's not an optional holiday. As far as Christians are concerned, God demands that you and I are thankful people. And I want to be better about that. Now, secondly, not only does God command it, but thankfulness is important to God, I think, because it helps us identify the source of our blessings. I mean, think about it. Why would God want us to be thankful? I mean, what's the point of doing that? I mean, I think that's why you look at maybe the idea of writing a thank you note, and you're like, well, I mean, I guess I'll do it because it's expected of me. And we just do it because everybody else is doing it, and our culture does it, and I should write a thank you note because everybody else before me has wrote a thank you note, and it's time for me to write my thank you note. But there's a reason why God wants us to be thankful people. And it's not simply because it's a routine he wants us to get into. There is a real reason behind thankfulness that matters to God. And I think one of those things is this. Thankfulness acknowledges God and recognizes God as the source of the things that he's given us. Now contrast that with unthankful people. He says in Romans chapter 1 that I have on the board, and you can go to Romans 1, we go there for a lot of things, talking about the ungodliness and, you know, sexual practices of some people, leaving the natural use of the woman. He talks about worshiping the creature rather than the creator. But I want you to focus on the first section of this, in verses 18 through 21. Paul says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now I want you to think about that. He's talking about bringing wrath on the ungodly people, on the unrighteous people, and causing judgment to come upon them for what? Well, they didn't acknowledge God. And in what ways did they not acknowledge God? Well, God once stuck out to God enough that he inspired Paul to write it down. He said, these type people, you know what characterized them? They weren't thankful. They didn't acknowledge God. And it showed in their lack of thankfulness. They didn't have it. They weren't thankful to God. Now think about that in the world today. How many people look at where they are in their life and they think they have themselves to thank? I've worked hard. I really got myself educated. I put myself in a position to succeed. I've done all the things at work that are required for me to get ahead. And I'm finally where I need to be. And it's like the man that said, "Look, soul, you've got laid up for yourselves, you know, many years worth of goods. You just sit back and eat and drink, take your ease." And it's that kind of self-sufficiency that permeates the culture of the time we live in. People don't need God. They don't acknowledge God. They don't thank God for anything. And that's how it manifests itself. God says, "I've created all these things. And you know what you want to honor? The thing that's created. You want to honor the creature rather than the creator." And so that manifests itself in a lack of thanksgiving. Well, when you think about how important thanksgiving is to God, I want to look at an example of it in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, back in the Old Testament. And we mentioned a segment of this in the adult class with David and the Ark of God. But I just want you to notice, you know, I want you to contrast David's attitude and what he wanted versus the attitude of the people we saw in Romans 1
who worship the creature rather than the creator. David here, and the return of the Ark of God, it's set in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And David, in verse 3, distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, a cake of raisins. And when he's doing all these things, he said in verse 7, this is where I want you to focus. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. So he wants them to sing a song of thanks to God. And notice how it goes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He's the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac. And He confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance when you were few in number. Indeed, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another, He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. And we'll just stop there. You could read on, but David was fired up. David said, hey, I got something I want y'all to do. Y'all are good at music. I want y'all to sing this song, man. Y'all, you guys, just take these words, and I want you to magnify God. Now, why would David do that? He was happy about how things had been going in his life. And he wanted to honor God for it. He wanted to recognize God. And you contrast that with how people are today. David recognized God for His goodness. Now, I'm going to go on just a tiny rabbit trail here for just a minute. All right, so you may say, no, I got Thanksgiving. I got it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a good job this week. And you may sit around and say things that you're thankful for. You may tell your parents, like, oh, hey, I'm grateful for what you've done for me. And you may be thankful. Let me tell you, that can still totally miss the mark. All right, the one being that deserves Thanksgiving above all others is God. All right, and it's not a week to go home and tell your mom how glad you are that she can cook. Now, that's good, and I'm glad that she can, for your sake. But let me tell you, that is still missing the mark of ultimately what God wants us to do from a Thanksgiving perspective. God doesn't want to just tell our school teacher, hey, here's an apple. I'm sorry, but school teachers are great. But that's not the point, okay? We're still honoring each other. I want you to take it to another level and recognize the real source of all these things. David didn't go around and thank his men that carried the ark and thank the big men of valor that he had. David recognized any blessing he had, whether family or country or whatever, it comes from God. And so when you think of Thanksgiving this week and you think about how good of a family that you've got, well, guess what? Guess where that idea of a family came from? God. God made them male and female. God gave them the wisdom to be able to parent you. That's all God's plan. Guess what? If you enjoy food this week, guess who you got to thank? Not your grandma. Not your granddad. You thank God who provided it for them to be able to give to you. You think of your safe trip that you're going to take when you go out of town. We always pray for our safety. And who deserves the thanks for that? It's your dad. He's a great driver. Very astute, always keeping an eye on the road, driving the speed limit, making sure the car's ready to go. No. We talk about God and God's ability to protect and provide for us. You think about what David said. David said, look, you guys used to be small, and God prevented any man from doing them wrong. It wasn't that Israel was awesome, strong. whatever. Let me just tell you, any thanks this week ultimately needs to be magnified to God. That's why God wants us to be thankful. It identifies Him as the source of these blessings. And I want to make sure we do that. All right, third, thankfulness is important to God, I think, because it shows, ultimately, humility. Thankfulness shows humility. Probably a passage that we could always touch on in the Thanksgiving lesson is from Luke chapter 17. And we won't read the whole text, but the story of Luke 17 is about the 10 lepers. And, I mean, just an amazing thing happened to 10 people who had an incurable disease. Not just a disease that afflicted them or bothered them, a disease that cut them off from the rest of their family, friends, and country. They had leprosy. And Jesus gave them something that no one else could give them. He healed them and told them to go and show themselves to the priest. But one man returned, it said in verse 15. When he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And notice verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And Jesus said in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Let me tell you, many people, when it comes to blessings, are wrapped up in being thankful for the blessing itself. And we're excited about what we've been given. And there may be an air of thanksgiving that's there, like, oh, we're excited, I can't believe it. But we're not really interested in the card that shows who gave us the gift. We want to open the present. And that's like these men did. Right? You've got men that are healed, and he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they're like, I got to go to town, man. I can't wait. I don't know what they're saying, and I don't want to suppose, but they have to be thinking, my family's never going to believe this. I mean, I'm going to go back and be able to see my family again. I'm going to be able to go into town in a place I haven't been able to go. I'm going to be able to be in a position I haven't been in years. I can't wait. And yet there was a person who was able to put back everything that they had built up in their hearts and all that excitement, and they said, I'm going to stall that out for 1 minute. And he stopped. And instead of going and embracing his family, instead of going back to town and letting everybody know, hey, I'm back, he stopped and went in the opposite direction of everything he wanted to go to and came back to Jesus and fell down at his feet and worshiped him and said, man, he said he gave him thanks. Look, that's humility. That's humility. I mean, I've given a lot of presents in my life. I don't think I've had a single person come like bow at my feet and say, thank you. And you might get a cursory thanks. But I mean, you see real thankfulness manifest itself in humility. And there's nobody more humble than this person. And so I'm telling you, look, this week, don't mix the two together. Excitement isn't the same as being thankful. All right, joy isn't the same as being thankful. You may have a good time this week. That doesn't mean you're thankful. Thanksgiving means stopping the fun and sitting down and making sure you're saying or showing or sharing how thankful you are. That's what Thanksgiving is. And a lot of times it's just it's confused with our excitement and the fun that we're having. All right, look, so I know you want to be thankful people, and I know in our best of intentions, we will go out and try to do everything God wants for us. That's what we do. We come hear the Word, and we want to try to apply it to our lives. I don't want to be a hearer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word. And so you're going to go out and try to be thankful this week, and Satan's going to be right there with you. Satan is, well, he's against everything that God is for. And so if Satan is wanting, if God's wanting us to be thankful, then guess what Satan's going to want to do? Satan's going to want to make sure that anything God wants is going to get obscured and put on the back burner and pushed aside. That's why you look at this week, and what is this week about? Again, instead of being thankful, it's about like eating more. And instead of, you know, being grateful for our blessings, we're thinking about what else I can get. I mean, who could have imagined a day of gratitude would literally turn it on the same day, the same evening, a day of going and buying stuff? Only Satan could do something like that and turn an otherwise godly holiday into something awful. So, when you think about what is going to be at stake this week, let me tell you four things that are going to fight against your attempts or gratitude, and then we'll finish. There is no clock on the back, so Ken Gay said he was going to tell me when it's time. But number one, the first enemy of gratitude and your desire to be thankful is covetousness. Now, I've got Joshua 7 up here, and if you remember the story, we won't read the whole thing, but it's the story of Achan. And if you remember the story of Achan, then you remember that it didn't end well for him and his family. But what was the problem that Achan had? Well, God had told them that the spoils that they were taking were going to be for him. God wasn't going to allow people to have these spoils. And Achan ended up seeing something that he wanted, and he took it. And he goes and hid it. And because the people of Israel had transgressed, God said, and taken the things that were under the ban, they couldn't stand before their enemies. And so Joshua's fired up. He's like, God, I don't understand. You led us across the Jordan, and here we are. We're going to fight and take over the land like you wanted. And we can't do it. And Joshua, is funny to me, says earlier in the chapter, he says, would that we had been content to stay beyond the Jordan. Like, maybe we've been too greedy and coming over here and taking this land. But God said, well, no. It's not that you were being greedy about this. You're doing what I told you to, but somebody else had been greedy. And in Achan, in verse 21, when I saw the spoils, among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. I'm telling you, I want you to think on Thanksgiving. Every time your mind goes to shopping, remember Achan. Can you not be thankful for 1 minute of what God has done for you? Can you not be thankful of the spoils you've already received? Can you not be thankful of the blessings that you've been given? Or are you so covetous that you can't give God one day or one moment? I mean, what does that tell you? That tells you you could be led to Canaan and still not have enough. And God condemned Achan for it. Look, covetousness is going to fight against Thanksgiving every time. You can't be thankful if you're wanting something else. You just can't. They can't both coexist. You're going to be content or you're going to be covetous. And you've got to decide what you want to do this week. All right, secondly, the Bible warns about another enemy of gratitude, which is found in every parent's favorite passage, 1 Corinthians 10:10, where Paul, in recounting all the things that got the Israelites in trouble with God, this one particular one, grumbling or complaining, he says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, we shouldn't complain nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. They shouldn't complain. Now, what did Israel complain about? If you go back and read in the Exodus, what were their complaints? They didn't like the food that God had provided. They didn't like the manna. They wanted something to eat, and God provided them manna, but they got sick of it, eating the same thing every day. Oh, and they loved how they used to eat, and the things in Egypt, and all the plenty and bounty of Egypt. And then God gave them meat, and they complain. Let me tell you how God feels about complaining. He destroyed them. All right? I mean, this is stuff that will get you killed by God. God hates complaining. You know why? Because it's the opposite of gratitude. It's here there's a blessing from God, and I'm not happy. And I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. When your parents pull into a drive-thru at a restaurant where they're going to buy you food, if you open your mouth to complain, you don't need to eat anything. Ingratitude, unthankful, all those things that children do, and guess what? Adults are the same way. Right? We can sit around with our family and watch yourself. Complain about how so-and-so is. Complain against your crazy aunt. Complain about all this stuff and what people are doing. And we're going to sit around and complain because we're not happy. How can you complain on a day when you're supposed to be thankful to God? Don't do it. I don't care how crazy your family is. I don't care how bad the food is. You'd be grateful that you have family to be weird and food to eat at all. And that's how God wants us to be. And if you had to eat manna every day and it sustains you, then say, God, I'm thankful each day for my daily bread. But I know some of y'all are going to have dry turkey. It's hard to get it right. You overcook it. If y'all would use a thermometer, you would know. Pull it out, 165. But some of y'all, you're going to leave it in there. And you know what you need to do? Don't tell your wife how bad it is. Be thankful that you got something to eat. And it's just hard, because it's going to be hard this week, because a lot of people can't do that. All right, third, and we'll wrap it up. Third, jealousy. All right, jealousy. And it isn't just jealousy. In 1 Kings 21 and verse 5, it's the story of Ahab and Naboth. And you remember that. Ahab saw a vineyard that he wanted, but it wasn't his. It was the vineyard of Naboth. And so he goes and asks Naboth, hey, give me your vineyard. And if you give me this vineyard, I'll give you one. I'll give you a better one. But Naboth wouldn't do it. And so what did Ahab do? I love 1 Kings 21 and verse 5. Just like a child, he went and lay down and put his face toward the wall. He was upset. He was angry. He really was jealous. And you think about being a king of Israel and being miserable and unhappy. That's what jealousy will do to you. I mean, you may have a life that would be envious to everyone else. But if you see something else you want, then you will forego all those blessings and sit there and be fixated on the one thing that is wrong in your life. And jealousy will ruin thankfulness every time. Look, I'll give you an example. And look, I don't want, this is probably not talking about you. You may think it is, but it's every family. All right, every family's got a black sheep. All right, every family's got somebody that you can sit around the table at Thanksgiving and think, oh man, that kid's done gone off and ruined everything. Every family's got one of those. Okay? But don't let the one thing that's not right in your life ruin everything else that is. Okay? To where your face is hidden against the wall and you've got a bunch of reasons to be happy. That's why God says to be thankful in all things. And a Christian can rejoice in a jail cell, and we can rejoice... I didn't say that right. We can rejoice in any situation, because we've learned in whatever state we are to be content. I want you to fight this week not to focus on what's missing, but focus on what's there. All right, try to do that and not be like Ahab. All right, fourth and finally, another enemy of gratitude, which Anna reminded me of as I was preparing the lesson, is always in our expectations or what we feel like we're entitled to. All right, we're never thankful if we feel like we're entitled to something. There are people in the first century known as the Jewish people who struggled with entitlement. And they felt like that they had or, you know, deserved everything and then some. And John the Baptist points out in Luke chapter 3 and verse 8, he warns them against this entitlement attitude when he tells them, don't say to yourselves, we're children of Abraham. For I tell you that God could raise up from these stones children unto Abraham. Sometimes we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And with that comes expectations, to where we can't be thankful for what we have because we feel like we ought to have more and better and bigger. And when you feel like you're entitled to something, then you're going to run headlong into problems with gratitude. Right? Because, you know, and I'm not picking on Todd, but look, when you hate your car, it's hard to be thankful for your car. When you hate your clothes, it's hard to be thankful for your clothes. Well, when you hate your sister, hard to be thankful for family. Look, you struggle against what we ought to have and what we deserve to have with what we actually have. And what it ends up creating is us just being miserable. Because you have people in America today that struggle with what they're entitled to, and you're in the greatest country on the earth, and you're sitting here miserable because of what you don't have. And if you feel like you're entitled and deserve something because of who you are, then it's going to be impossible for you to be thankful. Let me tell you, I'll leave you with this. as we close our lesson, it's important to God, and that's why we're talking about it. And if I ask your children to color for me a picture about Thanksgiving, what would that picture look like? If I just said, color me a picture of Thanksgiving, what would it look like? Would it look like this? Now, I already talked turkey, and that's not a picture of any of y'all's turkey. All right, somebody went to great lengths to do that. I mean, get the skin brown. You got to cook it just right, certain degrees. Put some oil on there. I'm telling you. That's probably what people would do. Or maybe, just maybe, you really like football. And you think about that as a day, like, man, there's going to be football day, and we'll sit there and watch football and throw the football, or football's coming later. And they may think about something like that. They may draw a picture of your family. But when I want you to think about Thanksgiving this week, this is what I want you to think about. This is what Thanksgiving's all about. It's all about what God has done for me, and there's nothing more worthy of Thanksgiving than Jesus Christ. An undeserved gift that really we had no business acquiring. He willingly died for me, for my sins, so that I could be reconciled to God after I'm the one that left God. And if you sit down and you color a picture this week about Thanksgiving, then you draw a cross and you color that in. That is the basis of our Thanksgiving. We're thankful to God through Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you haven't reached out to the cross, there's still time to do that. There really is no better way to say thank you to Jesus than to say, Jesus, I give my life to you. What can I do for you? And this is what Jesus tells you to do. He says, you know, if you really want and appreciate what I've done for you, then you go do what I've done to other people. You go give your life in service to your fellow man. And that's known as repentance, because you've been living your life for yourself. You live your life for somebody else. If you really believe me, then you stand up for me and you verbalize and confess that before men. I want to hear you say it. And God will save you because of that, your willingness to confess Him. And Jesus says, you know what? Like I died, I want you to die with me. And that's the act called baptism, where you go down in water and you come out of the water like Jesus died and rose again, and you are raised to walk in newness of life. And in that act, you put on Christ and you find the forgiveness of your sins. But all those things Jesus asks of you, there's no better way to say thank you to Him than to come forward right now as we stand and sing a song to encourage you.